Pick up where we left off last week. Colossians chapter number 1. Getting in a hurry there. Hurting the little ones. Colossians chapter 1. Last week we covered down through verse number 4. We spoke and read and understood how it was the will of God. Paul understood it was the will of God that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. And we learned that we should be giving thanks to God for our fellow believers. I hope you've been practicing that this week. It is very important that you acknowledge how thankful you are for those around you, especially your church. I mean, I'm telling you, this day and age, listen, the church must stand strong today. Listen, we are all that's left, and we're but a very small remnant in a very large world. Amen? We've got to stand strong, so it's important. Don't ever lose an opportunity to tell another sister or another brother thank you. And thank you for what? For just staying on board. Amen? Find something to be thankful for. But not only be thankful for them, you should be praying often for your fellow believers. It's critical that we are covering every single ministry of our church in prayer. And then we learned it is important to compliment other believers and always look for a way to exhort and lift them up. I hope that you have been practicing that this week. But today, tonight, I want to continue down. We'll start reading back in verse number 1 just to catch the context here. But we'll read down through verse number 6. But we're going to spend a lot of time in verse number 5. And tonight, I'll be honest, tonight will be an encouraging message. It'll be a message where you can walk out of here smiling. You know, you get those messages that are like gloomy, and it's like, man, those matter too. But tonight is going to be a subject that isn't preached on often, but I enjoy the opportunity to preach on heaven when I get the opportunity. And I am so thankful that this is not my final destination. I'm thankful that heaven is my eternal home. There's nothing the devil can do about it. There's nothing I can do about it. And there's nothing you can do about it. Heaven bound with a hammer down. And folks, we ain't got time to what? Mess around. Amen? That's what we are tonight. Let's pray and we'll get right into the lesson. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. Lord, I thank you so much for the power you've given us as believers in Jesus Christ. And Lord, tonight, in the name of Jesus, I bind Satan off this place. As Lord, we're talking about heaven, and we're going to uplift some believers tonight, and we're going to walk out of here with smiles on our faces, and we know Satan don't want that. Lord, we don't really care what he wants tonight. We want to hear from you, and we want to be encouraged. We want to be edified. We want to be strengthened. Lord, we need to stand strong in this day and age. And tonight, Lord, as we look at this place called heaven, Lord, that's prepared for us, and Lord, some things we could do down here to make it a little bit sweeter for us when we get there. I thank you for the promises that you've given us, Lord. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit tonight. And Lord, let everything we say and do honor and glorify you. And all God's people said, amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren. Again, you must understand, he's talking to the church. He's talking to the believers. Say amen if you're a believer. Okay, he's talking to you. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. We touched on that last week. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. See what he's doing there is he's uplifting them. He's saying, hey, we see the faith that you have in Jesus. We see as your preacher. We see as your church family. We see the love that you have for other believers. And we want you to know that that is not overlooked, folks. That goes a long way when somebody else sees it. Now look, don't do it for them to see it. Don't do it for the applause. But man, when it happens, listen, everybody likes to be told thank you every now and then, do they not? Everybody likes a thank you. You think about it. You ever given somebody, one of your little guys, a gift, and they just were like, not very impressed with that. You know the look. You're anticipating, can't wait till they open that, and then they open it, and they're like, this is what I told you I wanted all the way back in March. Can't you remember what I told you in September? But you're anticipating, and they're just like, oh. But then they're getting to the gift where you know they're going to be very, very thankful. And man, when their eyes light up and they say, thank you so much, that just does something for you, doesn't it, Mom and Dad? It just does something for us. Well, look, it does something for others. When you light up and you see that they've done something good and you say, thank you so much for your service. But tonight, let's look at verse 5. It says, for the, what's the next word? Hope. How many is thankful you got hope tonight? For the hope which is laid up for you. And again, who's he talking to? Believers, amen. He's laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in the all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. So in verse number 5, as I was studying this, I saw this. We as Christians should be looking forward to heaven. And I wonder if we were to ask the question, it's easy to say, oh yeah, I'm looking forward to heaven. But look, if you're looking forward to heaven, your joy ought to be full here on earth. You see what I'm saying? Doom and gloom here on earth? That doesn't sound like you're looking very much forward to heaven. Because here's the deal. If you're living all your time and all you know is no joy and sadness and sorrow and woe is me and pity party and all, folks, you're not going to like heaven. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We need to stop focusing on things down here. God said, look, don't look on the things that are down here, but yet focus on things up there. Think about what you got coming. Think about the fact that this is not your eternal home. That is your eternal home. And tonight, let me just tell you some things about heaven. We should be looking forward to heaven. We have hope because of this truth. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 21. How many brought your Bible? Say amen. Amen. I like that. Revelation chapter 21 tonight. Just want to try to encourage you tonight. I want you to go out of here smiling and just telling the devil, you know what? You can try all you want. I got heaven to look forward to. Revelation 21 and verse number 4. The Bible says, well, let's back up and read the context here. Let's just look at verse 21. Or verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were what? And there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. But look at this, folks. And God shall wipe away all what? From their eyes. And there shall be no more what? Neither what? Nor what? Neither shall there be any more what? For the former things are passed away. Now you got to keep in mind, if you don't know your Bible, you'll think that immediately when you die, yes, you're going to go to heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord. But this hasn't quite taken place yet. Does everybody understand that? All this stuff isn't going to happen until after the final judgment takes place, which is the great white throne judgment, which is the judgment where all the people that are in hell are going to come out of hell, and they're going to be judged, and they're going to be cast into an eternal lake of fire. And then Jesus is going to close the doors. He's going to lock the doors. He's defeated death and hell permanently. Then all the tears will be wiped away. Let me tell you something. I believe, yes, no, we're not going to be on the wrong side of that judgment, at that great white throne judgment. But folks, we're going to get to see it. And here's what's going to happen. We're going to know our loved ones who we say we loved and we did not witness to them. And they'll be able to look out and they'll be able to see you and say, hey, you had this the whole time and you kept it away from me? Folks, you're going to see that. I hate to say that, but there's going to be some tears on that day. Y'all all right? Those tears are going to be there that day. You think for a second in heaven right now, as wicked as this place is right now, that those people in heaven aren't crying for you and me? You think those grandmas and those moms and those dads and those grandpas aren't begging God in anguish and with tears in their eyes to protect their babies down here? Oh, there's tears there right now. Now, I don't think for a minute there's any regrets there right now. They don't want to come back here. But I guarantee you there's tears there. I guarantee you there's begging God, please spare them. That's my family. Hey, y'all okay? See, this don't take place till after the judgment. But look, it is going to take place. And here's some things to look forward to about heaven. In heaven, after the final judgment, all tears will be wiped away. Can you imagine a day with no more tears? Can you imagine a day not waking up with any reason to be sad? Can you imagine a day with not waking up without any reason to be mad at your mom, your dad, your husband, wife, your kids, grandma, grandpa? Hey, no reason to be mad. Why? Because we're in heaven. No tears. I don't know about you. No more pollen. Y'all know what I'm saying? No tears. How about this? In heaven, no more death. Could you imagine? Eternity, after the judgment's over, death and hell's been defeated for the final time. The doors are closed. The doors are locked. Jesus holds the keys. And everybody you see is going to live forever. Everyone. How many are believers tonight? Hey, you're going to live forever. You'll look around. And by the way, you'll know who's there. You'll know them. I mean, you'll know your family, the ones that made it. You know your friends, the one that made it. Hey, and you ain't got to worry about getting that dreaded call from the doctor. Y'all all right? I'm going to live forever. How about you? Is that not something to look forward to? No more death. I like this one. No more sorrow. No more reason to be sad. No more bad news. No more crying. No more begging God, could you please just stop the things that are going on in our world? Could you please save my baby? Could you please bring that lost loved one to repentance? No more of that. All that's going to be gone. No more sorrow. Hey, that'll be a pretty good day, won't it? No more crying. How about this? No more pain. No more ibuprofen. I love that stuff. I'm just saying. No more. No more sore backs. No more hurt knees. No more headaches. No more heartaches. Y'all with me? No more snotty noses. Folks, I'm talking about the stuff that we deal with every single day. It's all going to be in the past. No more pain. Imagine this. In heaven, all former things are passed away. No more remembering. Get this. No more remembering what could have, would have, and should have been. I wonder how many of us live with those thoughts every single day. Well, if I'd have done this, it could have been different. If I'd have done that, it would have been different. If I'd have done that, it should have been different. Do you know you're not going to have those thoughts there? It's just going to be believers worshiping Jesus for all eternity. All eternity. No more regrets. What an awesome destination awaits us as believers. But not only that, look at John chapter number 14. John chapter 14 tonight. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Chapter number 14. Let's look at verse number 1. And can I just say, if what we just heard and what I just got done preaching to you was all the Bible had to say about heaven, that would be plenty for me. But oh, there's more. John chapter 14 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "Let not your heart be what? Ye believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus speaking. "In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will," what, church? "And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Can I say this? In heaven, we have mansions being prepared by Jesus. You know, down here we think about things that we pay people to plan for us. And we look at it and we're like, oh, that's pretty good. I never could have thought of that myself. Well, that's why you pay the guy, right? You know, pay the man. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Pay the man. Look, you know, in heaven, Jesus is preparing mansions for you and me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. Right? And now don't get mixed up. I used to have this teacher in school. I went to Sparta for some years, and she was a Bible teacher. I did the quote thing on purpose. But she said, yeah, I just can't wait. Me and Jesus got my mansion figured out. It's going to be on the beach with an umbrella over top of me and sitting out there in my bathing suit drinking and sipping my sweet tea. That's not biblical. Y'all all right? Some of y'all are like, well, that's what I had planned. Sounds pretty good, don't it? Don't sound bad. But folks, that's not what it's all about. Jesus is preparing a mansion. And not only that, we have the promise that he's coming again and going to receive us unto himself. In heaven, we will be very close to our Savior. This alone is very amazing. Can you imagine? You know, I don't know how you felt. Like, how many have ever just really felt the presence of God? I'm talking about like you don't feel every day. But you've had those moments in your life where God has blessed you with just a little bit of what his presence is actually like. When you cannot help but have overwhelming joy inside of you and tears you cannot hold back. Not because of emotions, but because of the presence of a holy God in your midst. Folks, we're going to get to see him face to face. Imagine that. How are we even going to look upon him? Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. Hey, I can't wait to see Jesus. Can you? And you know what I'm really ready for? I'm ready for this crazy world to realize that Jesus ain't a hippie when they see him. Y'all all right? These pictures we got of Jesus, throw those things in the garbage. Jesus didn't have long hair. Y'all all right? Read your Bible. He did have a beard, though, because they plucked it out. Y'all okay? Jesus wasn't he was not what we think he was. He was holy. He was pure. He was sinless. He was God-fearing. He was God-submitting. That doesn't sound like the world, does it? The world cannot fathom who your my God is. To be honest, we can't fathom. All we can do is read about it. But one day, I'm going to see him. And so will you, amen? 1 Corinthians 2:9, go with me there. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number 9. Just look what it says about heaven here. 1 Corinthians 2:9, the Bible says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that what, church? Can I say that we can only begin to scratch the surface of how miraculous heaven will actually be? Again, we can read the Bible and we can talk about it, but folks, it's literally going to be a place of perfection where we don't even have a thought of anything negative. Can you imagine going a whole day without a negative thought? Going a whole day without somebody just really getting, you know what I'm talking about? None of that's going to take place. I mean, no one's going to make you mad. There ain't going to be no more horn cussing people on the highways. All the streets are gold. The walls are jasper. They must be good drivers. Right? Ain't going to be no bad thoughts. Ain't going to be going to church and being mad at somebody. Folks, you know what we are going to worry about? How can I please Jesus today? Because when you get there, all you're going to think about, and here's the bad part about this. We should be thinking like that now. As believers, we shouldn't wait till we get to heaven to act like we're born again. Or to live like we're born again. Amen? Folks, listen, we're going to get to do that one day, and that's all going to be good. But what are we doing right now, wasting God's time? Every single one of us are alive for a reason. God holds the keys to death and God holds the keys to hell. It's appointed unto man once to die. Look, you're still breathing. You're still living. God still has a purpose for you. God has a plan for you. Lady, God has a plan for you. Gentlemen, he does have a plan for you. From age 0 to 86, God still has a plan for you. It's not up to you to say, I don't know why God still got me here. Hey, who cares? He's still got you here. You're being a blessing to somebody. Amen? Try to, instead of wondering why God's got you here, try to say, you know what? Since God's got me here, what can I do for Him today? Because there's got to be something. There must be something. Revelation 22 and verse number 1. A couple more scriptures tonight. I like this passage of scripture a lot. I love the book of Revelation. Someday, if the Lord allows, we'll preach through it. But until then, we'll just skim. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb." It's the new heaven being described, by the way. "In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life," or was the tree of life, "which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Look at this right here. "And they shall see his" what? "And his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Imagine no more night, no more pain, no more sickness, no more heartache. Look, folks, listen, heaven is going to be a place of no darkness at all. And not just physical darkness, I'm talking about spiritual darkness. We are surrounded with spiritual darkness. Y'all okay? It's everywhere. I mean, the demonic realm is so powerful right now, but here's the deal. Only as powerful as we let it be in our lives. Y'all know that? We have authority over that. Everybody okay? We don't have to be bothered by that. We choose to be bothered by that stuff. All the gloomy things of life on this earth will be no more. I think of this. I think of all the unborn, aborted children whose lives were stolen from them. Can I tell you this? Every single one of them will be filled with the light of Jesus. You know what the positive thing about that is? Those children didn't have to grow up in the mess that we're here in. Every single soul here. You know what? It's just like, I love how Brother Shooter put it. God, I mean, Satan's trying to use it for the bad, but God's just populating heaven with young people. Y'all listen to that? Like, folks, that's a good deal. These babies don't even have to grow up in what we're growing up in. Now, I'm not for that. I think it's murder. I think it's wrong. But here's the deal. They're going to be filled with the light of Jesus. Those babies know what Jesus looks like. Isn't that pretty awesome? I can only picture Jesus welcoming them in and maybe holding them. Now, I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if Jesus does this or not. But he's a pretty nice fella, isn't he? But could you imagine him just welcoming them in? I could imagine this. I have a son or a daughter there today. I don't know which one. I'll know someday. But I'm kind of jealous that one of my children have seen Jesus. And one day when I get there, I can't wait to hear, "Dad." I'm like, I don't recognize that voice. But I'll look over and he'll say, "Hey, it's me. Let me show you Jesus." Hey, folks, heaven's a good place. Heaven's a real good place that we have to look forward to. Every hurt and every heartache will be no more, for we shall see Jesus face to face. That's exciting news. Church, we really do have something to look forward to. And lastly tonight, look with me in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6 tonight and verse number 19. Verse number 19, the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon" where, folks? "Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." But here it is. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in" where? "Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through, nor steal. For where your treasure is, will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Why do you think Jesus put that verse in there? You know, to me it would have been all right for him to just say, don't worry about laying up yourselves treasures down here, bud. Lay up for yourselves treasures up there. But see, that wasn't enough for Jesus. See, he took it a step further. And he said, for where your treasure is, think about this now, there your heart will be also. Let me ask you this tonight. How many of you are laying up yourselves treasures on earth nonstop? All we're worrying about is what's going to happen here. All we're worrying about is, do I have enough of this stuff? Folks, when you die, which could be tonight, and you've laid up everything here, and you have nothing there, you're going to regret that. I'm asking you tonight, where is your heart? If your heart were on heaven, you'd be concerned not so much about this, but about this. What's around us is a lost and dying world. People with never-dying souls are dying every single day and going to hell. People that we pass in the gas station, the ladies that we see at the grocery store 3 or 4 times a month, and we can talk about everything under the sun but Jesus. And you'd just be surprised how they might be sitting in the pew next to you if you just slip a tract in their hand, or not even a tract. Maybe you just say, you know what? The Lord kind of put it on my heart to invite you to church this week. I don't know why, but do you have a church home? You would be surprised at some of the answers you would get. But you know what we're doing? We're way too busy laying up for ourselves treasures on earth. We're too busy worried about carnal things that are going to burn up one day. I promise you, I ain't dying no millionaire. And there's a reason for that. God trusts some people with money more than he does others. Y'all okay? Just saying. God didn't want me to be no millionaire. He wanted me to be a preacher. And guess what? I'm all right with that. Because God's taking care of me. God's taking care of you. But folks, here's my question tonight. Are you focused more on your treasures here, or are you focused more on your treasures there? Say, what treasures? Well, are you making sure that the things on this earth, which are carnal, are taken care of? We should be wise. Wise in knowing that God promised that he would supply all of our needs. Which, by the way, he did say that, did he not? But my God shall. Is that a promise? Can God lie? No, he cannot. But rather, we should spend some time focusing on our eternal home, laying our heart and our treasure in heaven. After all, we're going to be there for a while, for eternity. I mean, you look at people that have been around for decades, and you think, man, they've lived a long time. But just a speck of time compared to eternity, right? Eternity, we can't even fathom that. And by the way, if you don't like your loved ones now and you don't like your church members now and you're a believer and they're a believer, how on earth are you going to make it in heaven? There are no cliques up there. I didn't hear no amens on that. Yeah, it ain't going to happen. Look, one family, one God. That's what we should be here. Unified group of believers. We're going to be there for a while. How about this? What treasure can I lay up there? Well, how about your family? How many would just raise your hand and be honest and say, Brother Drew, I got some family that I'm pretty sure is lost. I can't tell you for sure, but I'm pretty sure that I got some family right now. If they were to die tonight, that treasure would be in hell. How much do you treasure your family? How about this? Brother Drew, I got some friends that I really do treasure, but that treasure would be in hell tonight if they were to die. We can all raise our hands and say, yep, that's me. Well, how about this? How about loved ones? Anyone you can make sure that they know about this place called heaven. As exciting as it is for you and I to hear about it and to teach about it, because, hey, as far as I know, we'll have an invitation here in just a moment. Miss Crystal's going to come. You can come now if you want. And I'm going to ask the question, how many of you know that you have this place to look forward to? And almost all of you are going to raise your hands and you're going to say, that's me. But here's the deal. Just about everybody in here just raised their hand and said, Brother Drew, I got some treasure that would be spending eternity away from Jesus if they were to die tonight. Well, she starts playing, I'm going to ask you one simple question. With heads bowed and eyes closed tonight, just how important is that treasure to you? I wonder if you'd be willing to say, yeah, they're going to kill the live stream. Live stream's going off. I wonder if you would say, that treasure is important to me, Brother Drew. That person that came to mind, I wonder if they're important enough for you to get up out of your seat and come ask the Lord on their behalf. God, would you please, please convict the heart of my family. Convict the hearts of my friends. Convict the heart of my loved ones. Who, God, if tonight, if they breathe their last breath, they would wake up in hell just like the rich man did. In hell, he lifted up his eyes. Hey, folks, that rich man spent a lot of time laying up himself treasures here on earth. And he died, and the Bible says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. What about you tonight? I wonder if there's someone in here that would say, listen, the altar's full, but there's more room. I wonder if there'd be someone here tonight that would say, Brother Drew, yes, I have family and friends and loved ones that I sure would like to know about heaven, but Brother Drew, I need to know some more about heaven. I would like to know tonight before I leave this place that heaven can be my home. I wonder if there'd be someone here that would just quickly raise their hand and say, I don't know if I died tonight that heaven would be my home. Is there someone in here like that? I see that.